Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah. Check out this guy's Isengard terrain. He's got for one of his
Isengard.
Hobbit table. It's a sweet looking terrain.
That is actually pretty fucking cool.
I mean, the Isengard is not too like obnoxiously big.
Yeah, it's a cool tower. Yeah, it looks cool. I like it.
That's what I'm saying.
Be some sweet Fall of Isengard battles. Get some Ents. Get some Uruk-hai.
We can have an Ent moot.
That's right.
We are... The women are gone.
Oh, they died?
No. We spend all day...
We lost them. I love the idea that the Ent women are just lost. They just don't know where they are.
We spend all day rubbing each other sticks. So the sap comes out.
Right. Did you just imply that the Ents are a bunch of incels?
We like anime and tree supremacy.
Tremacy.
No, I mean, you don't have to be an incel to be, you know, to have a good circle jerk.
All right, fair enough.
I mean, it's a well-respected pastime.
I mean, I assume if there's no J.O. crystals involved, though, like...
No.
Yeah,
no.
We need J.O. crystals, because, you know, okay. That's how you know. That's how you know it's on the up and up.
Okay.
If you have your J.O. crystal, you know it's on the up and up.
Okay.
Because I know it glows, and I know it's legit, because I've seen it charge when I was J.O.ing with my bros.
Oh, okay.
Serious inquiries only.
Serious inquiries only. Just a bunch of dudes hanging around, you know, no gay
charging
stuff.
Our crystals.
Charging our crystals.
Yeah.
It's a complete legit thing.
We're fucking charging our crystals, bro.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Game Classy. The last Game Classy of 2018. And I say good fucking riddance.
Whatever, man. Every year sucks.
At
the end of every year, you're like, man, that year fucking sucked. Hopefully the next year is better. That's the end of every year. It's never not that way.
I don't know. Well... It wasn't that way in 1999, I'll tell you that. 1999.
We're gonna party like it's 1999.
We're like, you know what next year's gonna be? I was sitting there in 1999, I was a senior in high school, listening to Harvey Danger on my radio, on my car stereo, my cassette deck.
I'm pretty sure I was playing a fuck ton of StarCraft in 1999.
You're playing a fuck ton of StarCraft. I'm sitting around with my rayon shirts and big old baggy jeans going, man, you know what's gonna happen? Next year, man, 2000, we're going to have jetpacks, man. We're going to have jetpacks.
Spontaneous creation of jetpacks.
Flying cars. And here we are. I'm like, Back to the Future 2 has got it right. And here we are, 2015 when that all happened? And I was like...
I think so, yeah.
God damn it. God damn it.
Back in time. Yeah, bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam, bam. Oh, we got a lot to talk about today. You want to talk about gaming first? Or you want to talk about some non sequitur first?
Do we have gaming things to talk about? I thought you did the Facebook thing, so we didn't.
We did.
Have to
I
do
mean,
that.
we have the gits. We got the gits to talk about.
The gits.
The gits.
Oh, the moons play gits.
Yeah,
the goblins.
They
look great. I fucking love them. That moon terrain is awesome. I love that, like the mushroom cauldron with legs.
I like. Yeah,
awesome.
The spider cauldron.
Awesome.
I like the mushroom cloud mushroom is my favorite.
Yeah, that's also great.
That's great. Yeah. So Age of Sigmar's new army got dropped. We knew that there was going to be goblins coming. They kind of hinted at that.
They kept teasing and they kept showing that moon with the goblin face and like, you know.
Yeah. So they're going to be dropping the book. The book is going to consist. The two factions, the Night Goblin faction and the Spider Rider faction, they're going to mush them together into one big faction. Kind of like, I'm assuming it's going to be like Legions of Nagash almost.
Probably.
Underneath the...
You'll probably get guys that... you'll be able to use both, and then you'll probably have guys that make specific things better. Like, that's how Legions of Nagash works. Is it like...
Yeah.
You pick like a lord, and then that changes your army comp. And like... Different guy, like the Nagash personal bodyguard unit. It's a good unit. The Mortari or whatever
not the Mortarks. I know what you're talking
either
about.
One of them. They're both his bodyguards. But like they're good and they're always good. But they're juiced if Nagash is your general.
Everything is juiced if you got Nagash.
Well,
your general.
They are specifically juiced only if you're doing the Nagash Legion. Like they
the
have
juice
a,
is loose.
They have an additional rule if you're playing the Nagash Legion. Yes, the juice is loose. He's driving down the highway in a white Denver Bronco.
Remember 1997 when the juice is loose?
Was it? I think it was 96.
It was 96 or 97.
The juice was loose.
But the juice is loose was like on t-shirts and everywhere. It was everywhere. It was was in the national zeitgeist.
Yeah,
it was a meme before the internet.
You know, I'd never think to say it, but I think there was like a very small nugget of the 90s that was kind of like really good.
Yeah, the 90s overall is terrible.
Oh yeah,
but like when you look back at it, I'm like, God, it's such a simpler time.
I don't know. It seems like every decade has like slices that you could be like, this is good. Like, and it's usually related to like pop culture. It's like
like in the 2000s when Gnarls Barkley released their album Crazy.
I think the single Crazy. I think the 2000s, like
Saint Elsewhere was the
album. I think the aughts are the most forgettable decade.
Yeah, they're pretty free. It's pretty terrible
it's
overall.
It's
8 years of the Bush Cheney presidency. We didn't need that.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah. And then we had a recession. It was
getting there again.
it was bookended at the beginning. At the beginning, we had the .com bust. Where it's like, oh, who knew that PetSmart.com or whatever that was would fail.
Clownpenis.fart would fail.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew? And at the end, it was like housing bubble crashed. And we're like, oh, who knew that these high interest loans to poor people would fail and bring down the banking industry?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the best part is when you find out that loans actually aren't worth fucking a dime.
Well,
I'm
glad that all those bankers went to jail too.
Yeah,
who gambled with people's lives.
Wait a minute. They got super rich.
Yes.
Tonight we're gonna party like it's 1999. See, now that song perpetually just works.
Yeah.
Because
you're gonna party like it's 1999, which was the last great year.
See? There you go. Like you have it was the last great new year. I'll give you that. I don't want to be so bold as to claim any year was great.
Because
on the whole, humanity, now that we're pretty much approaching extinction with no way back, we can put the end cap on humanity.
Hey, we'll die out naturally. It's our children and the children's children that will all be perishing the Trumpian Holocaust.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, but now that it's over, we can give a full like top down for humanity. And overall, at the end of the day,
top 10 January 1st or top 10 December 31st. Number 1, December 31st, 1999.
Yeah.
Number 2, surprisingly, December 31st, 1922. Not a lot of people know that one. It's a little bit of a hidden gem.
Yeah. So now that we can put a pin in humanity and be like, oh, we'll call that a done. We'll call that a daisy. And overall, humanity, not really worth it.
But you know what I'm going to say? I went out, I think this year's going out on a high note because Aquaman came out. And I saw Aquaman today.
I hear it was great.
Aquaman.
I've had universal positive reviews, even from people who generally have a high disdain for DC movies.
This is the goofiest fucking movie I've ever seen in my life.
It sounds great.
You will love it.
It sounds great.
Because it's like, when I knew it was going to be great when I read an interview with James Wan where he was like, no, they're not going to be speaking in those air bubbles like they did. And they're just going to talk to each other. Don't overthink it, nerds. And I'm like, yes.
Don't overthink it, nerds.
I don't think he said that, but he's like, oh, don't overthink it. But I knew what he was saying. He's saying, don't overthink it, nerds.
Shut up and buy it, nerd.
Because you know, there was some guy like, well, how can Aquaman and Mira talk underneath the water? They just roll like
that. Anytime that like someone gets super deep into that kind of thing, I just think of a conversation that someone had with one of their customers, a store owner. And the store owner was like, he's like, yeah, so this dude's talking to me and I got the new book he wanted. And he's just like starting to talk to me about his fucking character and blah. And he's just like going on and on. And I just want to fucking throw the book down and be like, shut up and buy it, nerd. just like leave.
Just so, get the fuck out of here.
That's how I feel about a lot of like nerddom. It's just like, shut up and buy it, nerd.
Yeah.
Get out of my face.
I just remember being in my 30s or not my 30s, my 20s. I'm in my 30s. Being in my 20s and being like, oh, you know, I had this theory about what's going to go on in Star Wars Episode 3 and like having long discussions with people about like theories about what's going to happen in our favorite. No one knows anything. There's no theory. They're making it up as they go. Yeah. It's nerd.
I planned it all along.
Yeah.
Like, you can clearly... The guy who says he planned it all along, who went back to add a bunch of shit to the older movies so they'd make more sense with his newer movies, he had the whole story panned out. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This, the same guy who looked at fucking Darth Maul and that one red Twi'lek in the same room and just slid the two statues together and went, they're friends. Even though in the fucking background of the story, yeah, the fucking red Twi'lek chick is separated from Darth Maul by like 200 fucking thousand years or some shit.
Yeah, well, it's...
they're friends.
It all came to a head for me in 2008 when I watched the...
single interview with George Lucas?
No, the series finale of Lost. And I just went... they had no fucking idea the entire time. They had no fucking idea how they were planning this thing. It's all lies. It's all fucking lies. Yeah,
the only one who had any idea what he was doing was fucking Twin Peaks. What's his name?
David Lynch.
David Lynch. And the only reason he knows what he's doing because he just fought. That's exactly what he's doing.
Well, it's
he doesn't know what he's doing. That's what he's doing.
It was a David Lynch Christmas.
Yeah,
like, I don't get it. And that's the spirit of Christmas.
That's right. And that's the spirit of Christmas.
I was playing.
I heard that plain as day.
That was really loud in my ears. I was listening.
Good. It was supposed to be.
I've been playing Super Nintendo because I got the SNES Mini, and I've been playing Super Punch Out crazy. I don't know why.
That game's great.
It's not that great.
Oh, it's great. What are you talking about?
I'm having trouble beating...
You just think it's that great because you're getting beaten up by someone. Is it?
Mr. Sandman.
I knew it.
I was actually looking it up on the internet. I was like, how to beat Mr. Sandman in SNES? And they're like, you just get better. Don't come to me for answers.
Just do it.
That's like...
just buy it, nerd.
I miss that's one of the things that like nowadays is like people say like, oh, gaming community is so toxic, but you can go online, you see any number of videos of people like, hey, this is how you beat this jump area. And first of all, they're like, hey, yo, it's your boy Gamer Boy here.
Gamer 337
gonna show you how to jump over this ledge in Assassin's Creed. Okay, so first off, we're gonna get to this and it's gonna take about 20 minutes to get there, and I'm like, okay, I just gotta skip. But then for like, you look up Nintendo games and you're like, how to beat this boss in Kid Icarus? And they're like, it's impossible. You can't do it. You know, just stop playing.
But that's the thing. That's just the difference in like more modern AAA game design is just that like you in most modern AAA game design, it's more like you're given the cylinder and you need to find where the circle is.
Yeah.
And then you just put the circle in. So you might not be able to find the circle because you're like, fuck, this table looks like it just has squares. So you look it up online and someone's like, no, the circle's over there. And you're like, oh, cool. And you put the circle there. With a lot of the older games, especially games like Punch-Out, where they are a skill tester, like, if you can't beat it,
yeah,
you can't beat it.
Like, exactly.
There's nothing you can do. Like, it's like, I can't show you how to beat it because you just got to win. Like, you got to block it. You got to dodge it. You got to punch it.
You got to get good.
There's no other way around it.
Get good, loser.
You got to get good. There's no other way.
I wanted to talk about Aquaman, though. Because this movie, I just came from it. I saw it with my daughter this afternoon. And this movie's fucking insane, first of all. Because it's like James Wan, the director, took everything from the Aquaman comic books or like the Aquaman mythos and put it into this movie. Almost pitch perfect. Like the Ocean Master looks exactly like, well, not exactly like the comics, but he looks perfectly designed off the comics. Same thing with Black Manta. Atlantis is fucking gorgeous and everything. And you're like, wow, they put a lot of thought into this. And then you see like Aquaman played by Khal Drogo and you're like, that doesn't look anything like Aquaman. What the fuck?
But he's cool though.
He's very cool. So you have this juxtaposition. It hits like almost all of the superhero movie notes of like, it's like, oh, he's got to go complete this quest to become the king and he has to fight him in a challenge. Like the only thing that was missing from the movie was that at one point Aquaman never loses his powers.
Hey, that's
in
good.
Every superhero fucking movie, the guy has to lose his powers at some point.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I've lost my powers.
Yep.
Like when Spider-Man 2, when Spider-Man had erectile dysfunction, yeah, he couldn't be a Spider-Man anymore.
He had erect spide dysfunction.
You can work on that.
Yeah.
Just shop that a little bit more. You might have something there.
Arachnoid dysfunction?
There you go.
Maybe he's just having a really hard time in the video game Arachnoid, you know? I don't want to be confusing.
Arachnoid, you mean?
Is it Arachnoid?
It's Arachnoid. Arachnoid.
All right. Well, good. Then there is no confusion.
There is no confusion.
Great. We've done it.
Book.
Multiball.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. You gotta turn this little knob over and over again.
I broke the knob, Mr. Sanderson.
So I learned how to play with nipples is by playing Arkanoid.
Wow, 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 wow.
I don't think that's gonna help.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like that you have Aquaman, who looks nothing like the traditional Aquaman, but yet still does all of like the regular, like the stuff from Aquaman, like you would expect. Like, he talks to animals going like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm like, this is so fucking goofy. And he rides around on a seahorse just like he does in the classic cartoon.
Nice.
There's a fucking octopus playing drums in the center. Like, you think it's taking itself seriously, then it turns into like fucking Fury Road for a second with a fucking octopus, like,
that sounds great.
It's like, it's.
This is you're really selling me on this. I'm
fucking,
in.
It's fucking ridiculous because it's like, you know, he's like, you know, of course he's got to challenge his half brother to the throne of Atlantis.
Of,
you know, yeah, it's like, it's fucking, you know, this is gonna happen. And he's like, fine, we'll fight in the Ring of Fire. And you're like, all right, I'm for this. There's gonna be a Ring of Fire, and sure enough, a big Ring of Fire. It's lava, but it's still, you know, lava's fire,
yeah,
and all,
yeah,
that stuff.
It's fire.
And there's a lot of trident fighting. Like, I've never seen trident fighting before. I'm kind of okay
finally,
with that.
Tridents.
I know. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, at one point he's like, why don't I have a sword? He's like, no, a trident's the weapon of the nobles. And I'm like, okay, we're gonna have trident fights.
Just like
this.
It's just like goddamn fucking Skyrim. They won't give me a spear. I want a fucking spear, goddammit.
What do you want?
The spears aren't in Skyrim.
There's no pole arms.
There's no
Elder
pole
scrolls.
Arms. There's two-handed axes, two-handed swords, one-handed axes, one-handed swords.
You can't even get like a bardiche.
A mace or a two-handed hammer. That's it. They really went soft on the weapon options, which is kind of disappointing. I'd like to see the variety of like crazy weapons they do in Fallout, because they have a lot of different guns. I'd like to see them apply that same kind of thing to the melee weapons in Skyrim.
Maybe when the next Elder Scrolls
I'm hoping it's going to have some fucking serious shit. Like, I mean, they could really go ham. They could do a trident net. Just fucking throw, instead of blocking, you throw the net and you can fucking knock dudes over and then fucking stab them.
Like, you're like some kind of gladiator.
Yeah, like I'm some kind of gladiator.
Some kind of fish gladiator.
That's what I want.
Oh my God.
I want to be a fish gladiator.
And then you have all this stuff, like, okay, so Aquaman goes on this quest to find, like, all, like, the fucking trident of the first Atlantean king, and you're just like, okay, he's gonna get it, because he's gonna be the Aquaman leader. I mean, he's gonna put on the orange suit and green pants, and he's gonna fucking be this. But meanwhile, while that's happening, batshit fucking crazy, like, Ocean Master's gathering his armies to invade the surface world, so he's gotta unite the four lost tribes of Atlantis, and one of the lost tribes is like these fucking crab people led by John Rhys Davies, like a crab voiced by John Rhys Davies, and I'm like, holy fuck, there's a crab voiced by John Rhys Davies.
That sounds awesome.
And these guys riding sharks have to fight an army of these crab people, and I'm like, and it's not like a little thing, like, you see, it's like a fucking sweeping Pelennor Field shot of like these shark people, of these guys riding sharks fighting against these crab people. And the crabs have giant crab war engines, and I'm like, holy fuck, I never thought I would have seen this in my life. This is insane.
That sounds great.
Yeah. And the entire time I'm sitting there thinking, like, I can't take anything in this movie seriously.
It's a superhero movie, you shouldn't.
No, and I think that's what they finally got with DC movies, is like, you shouldn't take any of this seriously. This is the most goofy batshit movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the DC characters, which are, by far, more goofy than Marvel characters.
Yeah. And I think...
Not that Marvel does not have its fair share of goofy characters, but I think the DC... Because DC Comics heroes are all older, so they all have, like, older, way goofier shit in them, because when comics was fly by the seat of your pants...
Yeah.
And they were just doing whatever random shit they felt like. Like when Superman would carry a building with one hand. Like, you know, he'd carry a building with one hand, but the entire building. Just run with it.
That's what I always say, is like, DC is more defined by the golden and silver age, and Marvel's more defined by like the bronze and modern age of
the
comics.
90s, yeah. Marvel is the 90s. Well, 80s, 90s.
80s more than I think the 90s. I mean, yeah, I'd go even as far as like a lot of the 70s for some of it, but it's in that more bronze modern age as opposed to the silver age, where DC was fighting like the Rainbow Rider and shit like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Although there was the Silver Age Daredevil, where he couldn't find a place to put his clothes, so he got in his Daredevil suit and rolled up his clothes and bounced them like a basketball while going across the rooftops.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, that happened.
Well, it's Daredevil.
It's Daredevil.
Clearly. Daredevil, you can't take seriously until the Mark the not Mark Miller,
Frank Miller?
The Frank Miller run. Thank you. But yeah, the this fucking goofy shit. No, the and Aquaman. It's just like, My biggest complaint is that in Aquaman, he does kind of suffer from that I'm the main character, so I really don't have a personality. Everyone else is a better personality than me. Like, fucking Willem Dafoe is in this movie for some odd reason.
That sounds great.
I know. I don't even pay attention to this movie because I'm like, this movie's going to suck. And it's got Nicole Kidman and Jen Rhys-Davies and Jimon Hunzunzu.
And surprise, it didn't suck. And
Julie Andrews is in the movie. I'm like, what the fuck? Mary Poppins is out in the theaters Andrews is in Aquaman.
They got you, man.
I know, they did. I was really shocked. I kind of want to see it again.
They got you. They hit you with the bait and switch.
I know the movie's going to make like $1 billion. They say it's on course for. I'm like, more power to it. I wonder if it's open in China yet. Because I bet you the Chinese are the
ones.
It's
making a fuck ton of money in China.
It seems like a movie that the Chinese would love.
They love the big CG shit.
They love the big CG shit. They like big muscular white guys.
Who's the big muscular white guy?
Well, I mean, the big muscular Caucasian kind of guy. Khal Drogo.
Khal Drogo is brown, my friend.
I know, but I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, Western guy, I should say, as opposed to...
He's kind of with Pacific Islander.
Yeah,
I guess he would technically be west for China, technically.
Yeah, Hawaiian.
Like, Mongolian-looking dude.
I mean, a little bit, but I mean, he's... I wouldn't consider him Asian-looking.
No, I mean, Asia's a continent. Like, technically, like, an Indian dude is Asian. Like,
yeah, Asian. Like, East Asian. Yeah. You know, the rice patties
and the hats.
Fucking nunchucks and shit. You know what I mean? Sandal wearing goldfish tenders.
I love goldfish.
Yeah, so
And sandals.
And the thing about it, too, is it's got a very, very classic 80s feel to it in a lot of ways where it does kind of have this, like, Beastmaster / like Conan feel.
So I think that slowly what Hollywood is unlocking is instead of remaking the 80s movies with the modern day aesthetic, yeah. they're making new movies with the 80s aesthetic.
Yeah. And because the soundtrack for
it was like, in my opinion, the best until Into the Spider-Verse, my favorite Marvel movie was Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And that is a movie that's, despite the fact the effects are good, that's a movie that's straight out of the 80s. Like, yeah. Everything about the pacing, the soundtrack, the way the characters behave, that is an 80s.
Aquaman's got a little bit of a synth
summer
soundtrack
action
too.
Movie. Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. I was like, wow.
It's another 80s summer action movie.
Yeah.
In the middle of December.
Yeah. And did you like Spider-Verse? I saw Spider-Verse.
I think it's the best Marvel movie so far.
I wouldn't say it's the best Marvel movie. I say it's a really good Marvel movie.
I don't think it's best. I think the only one I feel is in contention would be Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I think
Spider-Man is way too complex to be a good Marvel movie. I think there's way too much going on in terms. I think if it could have been simplified without like 800 Spider-Men, I think maybe if you just had like two or three of the Spider-Man. I like the comic relief of Spider-Ham. Trust me. I love Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham, but I don't think he needed to be in the Spider-Man movie.
He was awesome. It's fucking Nick Cage out of nowhere.
He had like two jokes in that.
And they were great.
They didn't need to be in
there. They were great.
Movie. No.
You're trying to delete Spider-Ham and Spider-Man Noir. Yeah. You get out of here.
Even Penny Parker, I was not a... I was like, why she... What's going on with this?
Because it was fun, Joe.
It didn't need to be in there.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Of course you're poo-pooing on the one Marvel movie that everyone loves.
I liked it. I would give it a very, very positive review. I would say it's an A movie. I mean, I would not go... I think it suffers from a lot of problems. I think it's way too complicated for its own good. But the stuff that it does really well, the technical stuff is amazing. The animation was way better than I thought it would be. I like the visual sight gags. I like I liked all of the design of all of the characters. I thought that was wonderful. But yeah, overall, though, I was kind of like, this is way more complicated.
I didn't really think it was a very complicated movie.
Yeah.
There's other Spider-Man from other dimensions. We got to stop him. Let's go.
I know, but
it's as complicated as the Resident Evil 4 plot. The president's daughter's been kidnapped. We got to get her. It's up to us. Like, that's it.
Are you bad enough dudes to rescue the president?
Yes, there's a whole bunch of fucking, like, storyline with, like, there's some crazy, like, nobility dude left over who's, like, gone mad with power, and there's, like, another research scientist, and there's this cult in Las Plagas and all that stuff. But that's not the actual story. The actual story of Resident Evil 4...
Anything you can distill down to its basic elements is that extra shit that makes it difficult.
But they didn't really go into the extra shit as much as they just said, there's more Spider-Man.
fighting people.
Well, I think that they should have really just focused with the relationship between Miles and Peter. I like that Gwen Stacy. I think that Gwen Stacy's part could have been more fleshed out, and they could have spread out some of that stuff to other people.
I liked watching Peter Parker eat hamburgers.
I liked it because he was fat and old and hurting.
And eating hamburgers.
That's me. I'm fat and old and hurting all the time.
But can you pound two cheeseburgers like he could in that movie?
Probably. Well, maybe not now. I've been on a diet, and my stomach has shrunken immensely because I've gotten off gluten. So I've been, not like completely 100%, but like I've cut back.
No bread and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, 90% of it. No bread, no pasta. So now it's like I eat what I would normally consider is like a standard dinner. And I'm like, I'm so full. Everything hurts.
Yeah. When you don't have those refined carbohydrates, your appetite goes down. People think the opposite, but it's not. Bread is the worst. Bread's a killer.
Have you seen Mary Poppins yet?
No.
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 No,
nope, I have fucking absolutely no interest in seeing
this
film.
There's no reason why a Puerto Rican guy would be in London in the 1930s.
That's weird, but no. I don't know what that statement is from.
Well, he's Lin-Manuel Miranda's in the movie, and he plays like the Dick Van Dyke part.
I thought Dick Van Dyke played the Dick Van Dyke part.
Well, but he plays the guy who's like Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the jolly street sweeper who helps out Mary Poppins.
Sure. Do internet people really think that there was only white people in London?
I'm not saying I've seen this, but I guarantee you that argument has been made at some point.
Fair enough. I thought this was. I mean, I've seen ones where like people were arguing that like what was it? Oh shit! Like there were like no black Vikings or something. There was some fucking argument where some dude was like they were all white, and like some actual historian was like, or maybe it was Roman. I don't remember.
I think I know what you're talking about. It was that show. I can't remember the name of it, but there was a black legionary, and they were like, "There's no black legionary."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a guy's like, "No,"
and
the,
like a historian was like, "Actually, as a historian, you are wrong. Here is why. Here's all the evidence." And the best part is, after presenting all the evidence, the dude was still just like, "I don't know. I still don't feel like." And it's like, "Oh my god, like you people are fucking
here's
unhinged."
The thing. It doesn't fucking matter. It's going to be a shitty TV show as is. Just ignore it if you don't like it. If you and maybe it might be good. Maybe it might surprise you. Who cares?
It's just people being unhinged about like.
Yeah, because people are jackasses.
It's true.
It's going to be the new year. So I asked people on the Facebook page. I said, hey, what should Steve and I's New Year's resolutions be for 2019? Steve, did you have any New Year's resolutions for 2019? Before we start?
I do actually have some, but I think we should do the list first.
You want to do the list first before? Okay. So, in no particular order, Damian Hansen says, challenge each other to finally achieve the painting heights of museum standard.
I don't think we can do that. That's not fair. Your resolutions are supposed to be something attainable.
Yeah. Anthony Carroll says, though, top museum standard. I think
again.
It's top museum quality.
top museum quality
is the actual thing.
There's just no way.
I went to the field just on Tuesday right before Christmas, or the Monday before Christmas, and I did take some pictures of some of the models that I was going to post to the Facebook page. I haven't done it yet, but I was like, I should really do this just to show the top museum quality of the Field Museum. It's like, come on, this is a fucking top tier museum in the world, and you have these shitty, shitty painted... Like, there are people who would love, absolutely love to get a chance to go in and, like, work on dioramas in a museum. Like, just volunteer for it.
You know why? Here's why. It's because people, like, regular folks, they don't actually can't tell or understand the difference between, like, a Slayer sword winning model and just a model that looks good.
Well, I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying that, like,
you would be shocked because I would talk about Tim a lot to normies, as it were, you know.
Oh, those normies.
Right. And because they'd see some of my stuff and they'd be like, wow, you're super good. And I'm just like, actually. So
I'm terrible.
Yeah, I'm like, let me explain to you what's good. And I would show them Tim's models and I'm like, this is a good model. And they're like, doesn't look that much better than yours. And I'm like, but it's because they don't get it. Like, they don't know how you make a great model. That's why museum miniatures look like the way they are, because people are just like, yeah, he's got red pants. He's got red pants. It's correct. He's got red pants, blue shirt. That's how he's supposed to look.
Yeah. Kevin actually puts down, finally get to zero unpainted models.
That is one of my New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
And I will, before the end of the... Come hell or high water.
Yeah.
By the end
Great
of 20,
movie, by the way.
By the end of 2019, I will not have any unpainted miniatures.
I will not take up that challenge because I like having mountains of unpainted models.
Well, that's your thing.
Yeah, it's my thing. Yeah. It's my thing, man.
Yeah, you could. You're, the second you paint your last model, the second the last bit of pigment touches the figure, you'll explode.
No, it's just like it's,
you just burst like a balloon.
It's like I'm like I'd be like Jesus on the cross and be like, it is done, and like the
and then you burst like a balloon. Just gore and guts everywhere.
Father, why have you forsaken me? My dad's just like, I ain't gonna buy you stupid fucking toys.
He's drinking Old Crow. Fuck off.
He's drinking a Miller Lite going, I didn't tell you to buy all this fucking shit. I'm like, Dad,
That's gonna happen.
Yeah. Thomas Widgren writes, to get the new shiny, get inspired by everything, and start a gazillion new projects. And some cult divinity lost, one session would be proper. I don't know what cult divinity is.
I have no idea.
We'll have to look into that.
And maybe it's a secret, because I know Divinity in Divinity 2, so maybe it's something related to Divinity.
Yeah.
Those are PC games. So
oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a third one or an expansion or something.
Yeah, I haven't been inspired by anything new and shiny in a long time. So,
the Divinity 2 is pretty cool. Mm. New and shiny stuff. I mean, for me, it's Fallout. That's my new and shiny.
Yeah, you like the Fallout miniature game. Fallout, to me, I look at it and I go, this is dumb. It's all dumb.
What's I'm talking about? The Fallout minis. That like I'm excited about it.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. You love Fallout the game, so have an in already.
Right. Yeah.
Me, I'm just like, it looks stupid. It's stupid Fallout. It's a Vigi game.
Trying to think about it's funny too, because like this is like this miniatures game is like something I could have only dreamed of when I was originally playing Fallout 2.
Yeah, this would make a great minis game.
Well, actually, it's funny because Fallout Tactics, one of the things that came with Fallout Tactics for free was a minis game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a PDF printout minis game. It had all the figures you could. They were just little standees.
Well, I always said that Mass Effect would probably make one of the better video game adaptations to a minis game.
I think Mass Effect would be better as like a Zombicide style game.
It could be. I'm just saying it's like I think it could translate well. Like for Zombicide, I think it could make like a really great
because like exploring tiles and like popping enemies out, like how they did Dark Souls.
Yeah,
where like you get encounters and then like because you'd add the cover
and
stuff.
you have your warband,
right? And because the Mass Effect characters are more overpowered compared to the like enemies,
yeah,
it would make more sense, I think, as like a asymmetrical board game.
Yeah, I think you could do a lot with like, and they give you a lot inside the game to play with. There's dozens of races, dozens of different weaponry, lots of different psychic powers to play with. I think it would be fantastic to work with. It's just they botched it so bad with Mass Effect 3
Andromeda
that's never ever ever gonna get
back. Recovering from Andromeda is gonna be like pretty bad.
Like you didn't like all those glitches.
Ooh.
Yeah, Andromeda was awful.
Yeah. I heard like on top of all of the other issues, like on top of all of the technical issues, I heard that the story and game also was not very good.
Yeah.
It's like it wasn't like but there's a fun game underneath these glitches, or like, oh, the story's good. I heard that none of it was good.
What has to be done is as a company has to redo Mass Effect. Just like redo the storyline the original way that it was intended. Redo Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. And just remaster it, reconfigure it, do whatever you need to do.
And I have the way to do it too. It's easy. You have you at the start of the game, you pick your shepherd, you say renegade or
renegado.
Paragon. You pick renegade or paragon. Period. Like you just pick one, and then the game just plays out. Like
You don't have to do the choices.
Right. There's no choices. There's no dialogue options. Your character is just the character that you've decided. Like you're like, I'm gonna play because. Like I guess I would still have like an I would have a toggle where you could play like where you can pick your things because people would get butthurt if you couldn't, but at the end of the day like when you rolled a shepherd in that game to like play through, you're like, I'm gonna be a paragon. So then every dialogue option, you just pick the top one because they're always the same. It's like the paragon one is always the top. It's always just like, yes, that'd be great, or the bottom's like, fuck you, dickhead. It's like always the same. So just cut out the middleman. Give me the let me watch it.
Yeah. I would also have hardcore penetration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a mod for that in the PC one, but
Nice.
There's definitely Skyrim mods that have hardcore fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's Skyrim mods. There's Skyrim mods for everything.
Just say.
My favorite one is still the Thomas the Train one, where you play salt. Did we ever talk about that on this podcast, about Thomas the Tank Engine and the mythos behind it? I know I wanted to talk about it at some point.
I don't think so.
Holy fuck. I'm sorry if we've gone over this on the podcast. I know I've wanted to talk about it before, but my son is really into Thomas the Tank because he's, you know, a two-year-old boy, and he likes the choo-choo trains. There is such a fucking backstory to the Thomas the to the point where you're like, holy crap, this is more in-depth than most, like, Tolkien analysis.
Is it the souls of the dead that power those trains? Is that why they have faces?
No. I'm just saying, like, the land, like, there's atlases that this guy created for Thomas the Tank Engine. The land of Sodor off the coast of the UK, he's gone over, like, okay, it has this many miles of this type of track, this type of gauge, and, like, it's, like, all written out, hand, like, it's insane.
How many train pictures do you think the guy's masturbated to? Well,
you know, everybody masturbates to a train picture.
I didn't say, did he? I said, how many?
Oh, I'm sure, you know.
Do you feel it is a number beyond counting?
Maybe. People are weird with trains. I mean, I know that there are people who legit go and they film trains.
I love trains. I think trains are fucking cool as shit.
Trains are dumb. I like passenger car trains.
Love trains.
I'm a big fan of...
I want to go on the Zephyr and just do that fucking...
The California Zephyr, yeah.
I want to do the Zephyr trip where you just go from...
To
here,
California, yep, yeah.
Here to Cali and back and just...
I was going to do... Actually, we were planning on doing that, just going down to Denver. I'm getting off in Denver because that would be... I think that was going to be our trip.
Going to get your six shooters on your hips. You can go out in Colorado, yeah. And...
One of my dreams has always been to solve a mystery, a murder mystery on a train. Not like one of those like murder mysteries as in like oh, someone has been murdered.
Are you going to commit a murder and
no,
try to get
I really
it?
Want like someone wants someone to be murdered and me to have to like Inspector Clouseau it.
Like
you know?
you like a pipe comes out of nowhere, like someone hands you a pipe and you're like, "Don't worry. I'm on the case." Yeah. And like, "Who are you?" Be like, "I'm a random man from Illinois."
I'm out of my way, I'm a podcast host.
Yeah, out of my way, I've hosted a podcast. So we're all 30-year-old middle-aged white dudes. We've all hosted podcasts.
I host one on which beers go best with which cheeses. Everyone has a beer and cheese podcast in Chicago.
Mine's about growing cranberries.
Oh. Do you have a card?
Yeah, I do. Here you go. It's the cranberry.
How do you have
it's
this?
The cranberry crash course. We've got over 3 million subscribers
it's
on
like,
YouTube.
How do you have 3 million subscribers?
Cranberries are very appealing.
I've read every Agatha Christie novel out there. And Murder on the Orient Express, the worst one.
I really liked the movie.
Did you see the movie with the new one?
Yeah, it was good.
With his giant mustache.
Yeah, it was a huge mustachio. it was great.
Giant
I
mustache.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. I always think that I hate the ending of Murder on the Orient Express. I hate it so much. It's such a fucking cop-out.
Yeah.
It drives me absolutely up the wall.
Well, I think doing mysteries is pretty hard.
Well,
like,
it is.
Like, doing a satisfying... I thought it was fine. Like, I mean, and I guess at this point, that story has, like, kind of... passed into like
it yeah like everyone should know the end of Murder on the Orient Express,
but like I think it's difficult to do a like there's the biggest sin for me in a mystery is when solving with evidence that wasn't presented.
Yes,
I hate that, and that's actually really common.
Yeah, and Sherlock Holmes does that a lot.
I think Sherlock was less about trying to solve the mystery with Sherlock, and it was more about like what random bullshit is Sherlock going to come up with?
He's going to pull out of his ass.
Yeah, pull out of his ass. Which is the appeal of
Sherlock Holmes? Yeah,
right. It's supposed to be like, wow, that's fucking crazy. I can't believe it. And it worked. It's Sherlock. But like for you know like Clouseau and like a lot of the other like detective mystery novels, it's supposed to be something that you are able to solve.
Yeah. Poirot, not Clouseau.
Yeah.
Clouseau's the pig pen.
Right. Where like you have the opportunity to solve it as you're participating in the story in addition to just reading it. Sherlock Holmes, you are an observer.
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes, you can't keep up on his level.
Right. You are an observer when it comes to Sherlock Holmes, which is fine as long as you know that going in. You are observing Sherlock Holmes' adventure. You're not trying to solve it. But for a more human inspector, trying to solve the mystery with that character is part of the fun.
Yeah.
And I hate when they pull that like... Oh, no, it was actually this ring that we never mentioned until just now that gave him away.
I'm a bigger fan of Death on the Nile. I think that's one of my favorite ones. Also, because it got the Egyptian part of it. You know, you got the whole, you know, the whole...
The Mummy's Curse. The
Mummy's Curse thing going on. It's pretty good.
Those Tomb Kings auctions got away from me.
Yeah, just to let you guys know.
I had to let him go.
I tempted Frodo. I tempted Gandalf. Frodo tempted Gandalf over here. There was a... an auction that had
three.
Come up. Three auctions for a Tomb Kings army, like a full Tomb Kings army, and Steve immediately just bid on them. And I'm like,
I bid on all three of them.
I'm like, Steve, you don't want to play Tomb Kings again. He's like, I don't care.
You know what? I was willing to take the chance at the price I bid.
Yeah.
And as soon as, and I was outbid on all three by a dollar, and I stuck to my guns and I said no.
Yeah.
I was willing to pay the price that I bid.
Not a
cent more. Because the price that I bid was, while a absolutely savage deal in terms of the model value, was just the most I'd be willing to spend. Yeah. I don't want to drop $600 on old Tomb Kings models. No. Like, especially because, and knowing my fate, like, because I didn't get the army, this will never happen, so sorry if you're a Tomb Kings fan. But had I won those auctions and dropped, like, the 600, because I had just pushed it and, like, really wanted it, shit you not, like, halfway through the army, they would have announced the new Tomb Kings, and like, here, and it's all this shit that you didn't get, and I'll just be like, yep, that's what happened. But because I didn't win the auctions, don't worry, that
it's never gonna happen.
Gonna happen.
Yeah. So Chris Neumeier says that we should finally create the sitcom RPG. I think we could do it.
I just don't wanna.
Yeah, we still wanna.
Yeah. Oh, you know, maybe we could do a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But then let's do a Kickstarter and never send the book.
Just keep on putting up some stuff.
We'll keep putting up. Oh, here we go. I got it. Kickstarter. We keep putting up sample pages, like two sample pages. And then when the due date comes, we drop like six sample pages. And then we just keep releasing sample pages until eventually we release the whole book.
Ah, okay.
Just via sample pages.
Well, we can just release the book. It doesn't have to be a good RPG. We can just release the RPG.
That's also true. Would you care for a House Delacue supplement?
I already have that issue of the White Dwarf.
I don't want the Gangs of House Delacue.
Delacue.
Actually, they look pretty fucking cool.
I like the older ones. I like the ones with like the trench coats more than
the Hellraiser guys.
Yeah, they look like they're wearing still suits.
To me, they definitely just look like Cenobites.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they look like Cenobites. They I like the guys with the trench coats who look like Morpheus.
Okay,
those are always my favorite. That's my band that I have. Matt Hurd says that our New Year's resolution is to not fall off a ladder. That's been my resolution for every year for the last 3 years, and luckily I have not done it since the one time I've fallen off the ladder. So, my favorite is
I don't go on ladders.
This was my first year going to like actual family Christmas parties since the accident, because last year there was some other stuff that was going on, and everyone was all like, "Oh, I heard you had the accident," and I had to recount the story every time, and people go, "Oh, I've fallen off ladders before and never done that." I'm like, "Great. Good for you. I'm glad you didn't have to spend 3 months and have a hunk of concrete in your back. Thanks for your fucking input.
Glad you didn't get put in traction."
Yeah, that wasn't in traction, but... but yeah, I was just like, yeah, well, thanks for that bit of insight. That you fall off a ladder. Perhaps you're the fucking second coming of Jesus and you're never going to get hurt. Maybe you're the guy from Unbreakable.
Yeah, excuse me, you're the one with the golden asshole who doesn't get blood in his underwear after he eats Qdoba. Or Chipotle.
Chipotle. Golden asshole.
Yeah, he's got the golden asshole. It doesn't bleed after he eats Chipotle.
James Brandt says, "Be the center of controversy at a conversion." I'm assuming he means a convention.
Probably. That sounds like that was what's this? The autocorrect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a couple ways that you could do that. I mean, you don't have to be. I don't think you could. The ways that I would want to be like in trouble at a convention would be I was the center of a controversy. Like if I punched a neo-Nazi like Richard Spencer at Gen Con, I don't think I'd be the center of
No. The center of a controversy would be something like you'd have to. First of all, you'd have to get enough clout to be like a guest somewhere, and then you'd need to like I don't know like grab Felicia Day's ass or something. Then you could be the center of a controversy.
Yeah, that's more controversial than anything.
Yeah, like that would be the big thing.
Podcast. Host Joe is in trouble recently for his controversial views on Vietnam.
His controversial ass grabbing. Or you can just, you know, throw... You can actually... You could, if you get enough Twitter clout, you could send out a tweet while at a convention, hashtagging it at the convention with just some head ass opinion that like is just like awful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, just something shitty. Just.
Settlers of Catan is an overrated board game.
Yeah, hashtag Gen Con.
I can't because I like Settlers of Catan.
I think that game sucks. It's just dice. Just play craps.
I do like craps. Oh, by the way,
you would like Settlers if you like craps.
I love craps. Craps is my casino game. Excuse me. But they had a I had a realization. I found out about this is that Hold on. Excuse me. Hold on. Here. Sorry about that. I found out that casino dice are not good for miniature gaming. Aside from just the size of casino dice. Casino dice are designed to tumble. So unless you're tumbling them, they're not going to get a good enough roll to be average.
You need like a big ass rolling thing for casino dice to be good.
The dice that you need for precision miniature gaming are precision backgammon dice. That's what you have to look for.
Or you can buy the Game Science mathematically
precision
perfect
backgammon dice. They have to be the backgammon. Apparently, the backgammon community is really hardcore about their dice. I did not know this.
I don't know if they're as mathematically perfect as the Game Science dice.
I don't know if I've ever actually played backgammon.
I've definitely played backgammon before. It's really weird. You roll dice and you move checker pieces.
Yeah, you move checker pieces.
Yeah, it's been 20 plus years since I played backgammon. I remember it being okay.
Whenever I think of backgammon, I think of like people smoking hookahs, like laying on a couch, like that. Like that. That's what I imagine backgammon as. Like this. Like I see, you have not defeated my white pieces yet.
That's weird, but okay.
Yeah, that's what I imagine backgammon is being played by. Like I always dominoes is always played by old Dominicans. Like outside of a store, like anybody who plays dominoes, are you Dominican? Are you outside of a convenience store? Then you shouldn't be playing this game, because that in my head is people who play that.
I've never actually seen a game of dominoes being played.
No?
Only in film.
Only in film.
Like I've seen it plenty in film and television, but not in person.
Like I won't play chess because the only two people who need to be playing chess are an old Jewish guy and a young black guy in a park. They need to be playing chess. Like that's the only two people who could play chess, and they have to play against each other.
And the and then they learn a little from each other.
They learn a little bit from each other. That's how it works. Yeah, that's a, and Warhammer has to be played by a large weeaboo and a tall skinny guy in a Nazi outfit. That's who has to play Warhammer.
40K.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Yeah. Like that's in my mind. You can't play it unless you have a fat guy wearing trilby, with his pillow. And a tall, skinny guy with bad complexion in a Nazi outfit.
Both of them playing Ultramarines.
Playing Ultramarines. Now I have the Imperial Guard.
I was using the Tau.
The Tau? So let's see. We got Damian Reed says, build and paint the nastiest meta army you can think of right at the moment together for any system, then blow it up on YouTube.
I'm not going to piss my money away.
No, no,
that's
thank
expensive.
You, sir.
Like, for 40, like, the cheapest way to go that route would be to do the Nagash list for Age of Sigmar, because that army is dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because there was that 40K Onion article, or Onion-esque article,
yeah,
of the dudes just throwing money at each other, which I thought was humorous, because I'm like, it's kind of like that with 40K, because you usually need to, like, copy-paste the most expensive models to get there.
Well, I mean, the funny thing with the 40K meta right now, and it's still the same basic thing, is that you need to buy an entire Imperial Guard regiment in order to play the meta for Imperial Guard.
So 40K,
yeah, for 40K.
So 40K
right now
meta builds are very expensive. Age of Sigmar is dirt fucking cheap, because you need to buy Nagash, who by himself is like a hundo, and then 40 skeleton warriors, a couple fucking dogs, and then you're done. Like, you don't need anything else.
I think, like, what would you say the average AOS army costs? About like 400, you think?
Probably average. And I say that very specifically average, because there's such a wonky, like, high and low. Like, the Pestilence army I have, it's a shit ton of models, and it is by far one of the cheapest armies to buy, because it's just the way that the army is structured points-wise and the way the bio box works out. Like, two bio boxes, four boxes of plague monks and then one pestilence lord dude. You can buy like the army box that just comes with the pestilence lord and whatever. You've basically got 2K right there.
Yeah.
And I think it's like 380.
Yeah, it's like,
and out of that 380, like 100 of it is the giant, the horned demon dude. Yeah. So if you just don't buy him, you don't have to. You could go the triple plague furnace, which means you buy another star collecting box instead of that guy, which means it's even less money to go that route. Mm. So that's a cheap army. You can do a very cheap Iron Jaws. You can build a very good list out of just star collecting boxes. But then there's. I think
Daughters of Cain, Idoneth Deepkin, Fire Slayers, those are all kind of expensive armies. Yeah,
Fire Slayers were a lot more expensive before they got a star collecting box.
Yeah. I mean, even still, they're still kind of expensive.
Because now, with the star, like, Fire Slayers is like a weird one because, like, you have to kind of, like, count to, like, you have to do, like, a recoup because you, like, buy, like, three star collecting boxes and sell one of the dragons.
Yeah. And even, like, the dragons don't sell for that much anymore.
So, or you play a triple dragon list. I guess that's the thing.
A triple dragon.
Are you, that's the other thing, too. Are you just trying to get in the game or are you trying to make a good list for your faction?
Okay.
Because I don't know how good the triple dragon list would be for Fire Slayers. It'd probably be okay because those dragons are really fucking strong.
No, I mean,
but I think their ideal list is Horde, so they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, when I'm saying like the average $400, that means the like meta best list for that faction.
Yeah, I think average $400 is about right.
Yeah,
which is insanely good compared to old Warhammer.
And then, like, I have
old fantasy. I
have to reconjigger in my head because when I think of, like, oh, I have to buy an army, every month, at least in my head, of, like, when I have to buy something new. And I've luckily stopped that, so I don't have to worry about that too much. But, yeah, and we were talking about with the goblins, going back to what we were first
talking. And, of course, $400 would get you two complete Lord of the Rings forces.
Yeah. What we were talking about earlier with the goblins, the effectiveness of the goblin army is going to depend on how much they're releasing the figures at, the price-wise.
Price-wise, and then what randomness they're putting in. Because, like, for example, the squigs are very, very strong. The squig hoppers are very random. So they're just not, like, you don't take them. You take the squigs. Because the squigs are always good. The one the random thing that the squigs have is a benefit. It's when they die, the closest unit takes damage. You roll a dice to see if it takes damage, and they ignore friendly units.
Yeah.
So when you're looking for the closest unit, you ignore friendlies. So, like, they're fucking super strong. Mm. Squig hoppers have random. So that's the current listing of goblin things is, like, there's some that have the goofy random shit, generally not good, and then there's the stuff that's not random or has a, like, random thing where it's like, oh, it's random, but it's all positive. Okay.
Yeah, as I always say, orcs and goblins are always generally considered to be the fun army. You don't play that army unless you expect to lose. That's kind of what I always think of when I think of goblins. Is like, don't play goblins if you want to win.
They've really gotten away with that with Age of Sigmar. Like, they've gotten away from that. Especially because the biggest weakness that...
Yeah, but they haven't released a standard goblin army.
I'm saying right now, if you're playing goblins, like right now, if you're playing with the War Scrolls available and playing
the
goblins.
But the Spider Army is pretty good.
The Spider Army is one of the strongest armies in the game.
Yeah.
It's very fucking strong. And it's just Spider Riders and Giant Spiders. There's literally nothing else. It's one of the strongest armies in the game, period. Yeah. Like, flat. Super good. And the reason that the goblins...
You also get the hero on the Spider as
well. Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. You actually can... I think one of the lists runs a shaman on a spider, a hero on the spider, and then you can run a dude on the big spider, a hero. So, but yeah, it's fucking spiders everywhere. Because even the Arachnarok ignores terrain. It just fucking just... And it's a beautiful looking army. When it's painted nice, it looks so fucking great.
Well, I've heard rumblings that they're going to release new plastic spider riders.
Sick. That's fucking awesome.
Because there's none of the stuff from Skull Pass is going to be re-released from what I hear.
Cool.
It's all like the goblins.
They're getting retired.
They've been retired, but the night goblins are all the multi-part ones that got released in their own separate kit. So the rumor is they're going to be releasing new plastic spider riders. So,
okay. Yeah. But the biggest reason that you got that there's even a chance for a goblin or orc list now is because terror doesn't exist. Break checks don't exist the way they did before. There's no panic. Because that was how the Orcs and Goblins army always worked. Because you have a whole bunch of goofy shit. A bunch of units might not do anything because you rolled ones because they got they squabbled. So your army might not work. And then as soon as you fail one break test, your whole fucking army runs off the table. That was the
like, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that because I played an orc and goblin army at one tournament. I made a Grimgor Ironhide. Black orcs, like orc list, like just fucking shit tons of orcs. I'm like, yeah, this list is gonna be great. I played in one tournament with it. The first round, I played against a Chaos Demons player who I outmaneuvered and got flanked. I got the charge every combat, and I still lost. the best was when I flanked his unit of five flesh hounds with a block of orcs. Killed a flesh hound, then the remaining flesh hound shredded orcs, and I failed my break test.
Well, there you go.
So there's that. And then, of course, the second round was against dwarves, who caused my one unit to panic with a war machine at the beginning of the game, which caused my entire army to run away. I was like, cool, nice game. So yeah, psychology rules going away really saved them from like just being always dross. Like, psychology rules not existing means that you have a chance. And I saw there's some goblin lists that do well. I haven't seen one win a tournament, but winning a Warhammer tournament is really hard.
Yeah.
Just like being on the top tables at any point, like towards the end, like if it's the last round and you're towards the top, if you top five with a goblin army, your army's probably really fucking good.
Oh.
And I've seen that multiple times.
Hamish did say
Hamish.
That we should slag off his dad this year. So, do you want to make fun of Hamish's dad?
Hamish's dad doesn't like beans.
Oh, he doesn't like beans?
Doesn't like beans.
Does he like the blood? He only likes the white pudding?
He doesn't like pudding.
He doesn't.
He also is not a fan of flaky pie crust.
What is the, hold on, let me see.
I tried to think of the most brutal British insults, and I think
No, here we go. Were they Northampton or Southampton?
Northampton.
They were Northampton. Okay. I'm going to come up with a great insult for this one. Hamish's dad is a big fan of the Southampton Football Club.
Damn. Would you say he's chuffed about the Southampton
he's
Football Club?
He's chuffed about the Southampton Football
Club.
He's
a chuffed up Southampton bloke.
Yes. That we may have actually upset him by saying that. I don't know how much he takes his footy seriously.
Well, he's chuffed now.
David Ruckstool says, play a game you hate. We hate all of these games, so it's
Gundabad Trolls.
So that's pretty much, we do that constantly, so we can't talk too much about that.
Yeah.
Because it's a love-hate relationship with all these games. Like, we love it. We love the hobby. We love building. We love putting it together. We love talking about it. But actually getting out there and playing these games, that's where the problems come in.
Yeah. Although Age of Sigmar, I've never actually hit. I've gotten absolutely shit on an Age of Sigmar before and not had a bad time.
Yeah.
I think because Age of Sigmar is such a fuck-all game, it's just fun. Yeah. It doesn't really matter. It's just like, all right. As long as the other guy isn't taking it seriously, then you're good.
Yeah. Brent Miles says, the same one that all mini gamers have every year. Finish painting all of your models before buying new ones. Then realize that this is unachievable, so you drink yourself into an early grave.
Hey, like I said, mark my fucking words, listeners.
Yeah.
Mark my fucking words. 2019, hell or high water, I will not have any painted model. And as Kevin said, selling models counts. But I'm going to do my best to not sell anything I own. I want to paint every model that is currently in my apartment.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's,
luck to you on that
that's
one.
That's what I'm going for. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I've got 365 days. I'm gonna do it.
My thing is, I'm only gonna buy something new for armies that I'm currently working on, and I know that it's necessary to complete the army.
That's my thing. That's why I don't want to buy any new anything right now, because like I have like my Nurgle list is beyond completion. Like I have everything. I don't need any. I have every.
But what about if they release like a new cool Nurgle Lord?
I don't...
Just like a really fucking cool-looking Nurgle Lord.
Probably not unless he has new rules.
But I mean, like just like a limited edition guy that's just kind of cool-looking.
No.
No?
No, he would need to have rules.
What if he's writing something? Like, what if he's writing, like,
again,
a slug or something
need to have
like
rules.
That? Yeah.
If they release a new Nurgle model, a brand new one that does not currently have existing rules, I will buy them. Because I have the maximum amount of I would ever need. for all the heroes.
New guy?
I have all the mag.
Cool guy?
No.
What
I
if he has like? What if he has like three assholes?
All right. If they release a model with three buttholes, I'll buy it.
See, I knew it. You...
But that's not gonna happen. That's like that...
everybody's a whore. We just have to negotiate prices.
That's like saying like, hey, Joe, will you buy a lottery ticket? No, you always lose lottery tickets. Will you buy a lottery ticket that's guaranteed to win? Yeah, of course I'll buy a lottery ticket guaranteed to win.
So the model with three assholes guaranteed to win.
Yeah, it's guaranteed to win. It's gonna have three buttholes. Like, think of all the Twitter clout I could have. I mean, like,
look at these buttholes.
Hashtag so, buttholes, hashtag three buttholes, hashtag Nurgle, hashtag model, hashtag three buttholes, Nurgle model.
Jason Chaplin says, create a new podcast where the crew of the Next Generation play D&D.
My warrior would like to engage the enemy in honorable combat.
I mean, like, in order to do that, I think
we would need a cast.
Yeah, we'd need a cast. We need people who could do decent impressions of the
just
next
decent,
gen,
not even good.
Yeah,
just decent
of the D&D crew, and they have to know D&D well enough,
and Star Trek.
Yeah, well, and Star Trek, and they have to know it well enough so that the game well enough so that they could play Dungeons and Dragons as those characters and interact as those characters would.
I think the best way to do that would be scripted.
Yeah, I mean,
you'd have to do that as a scripted show. Like, there's no way you'd like.
I've seen some good improv. I think
you
people
would
can do it. Yeah,
to have a group. Like,
I'm not saying any old improv group could do this.
To have a group that has the skill set of knowing D&D well enough to riff on it, knowing Star Trek enough to riff on it, and be able to do the Star Trek impressions, and be able to do that as improv, there's no fucking way.
I'm going to improv as Miles O'Brien.
Yeah.
Yeah,
your improv of Miles is always you just going, ha-ta-ta-ta-ta. You didn't do it.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know, Captain. Would you like me to transport him?
It's me.
He's a mage and he can only cast teleport. I've only got teleport. The captain only lets me play this one character. He says I'm Billy the teleporting boy. All I can do is teleport the party.
All I can do is teleport him. I have no idea.
He doesn't even let me go into any adventures.
I have no weapons.
He says, I want to go into the dungeon with them. And he says, no, Billy, you have to stay outside in case they get in trouble. So you can cast the dimension door.
We're not going
to
let the Irish and go.
Yeah.
All he's going to do is drink.
Because he's like, his accent is like barely there.
Yeah, he barely has like, he has a, Calmini has an accent, but I mean, it's not
right.
Like, yeah.
It's not Scotty.
It's, yeah, he's not like Jimmy Doohan, the Canadian with the fakest Scottish accent ever.
Aye, it's me, Jimmy Doohan.
Jimmy Doohan.
He also adds on there that Joe should use the word chuffed more in casual conversation.
Hey, we did it a bunch.
I hate the fucking word.
We just did it a bunch. Chuffed.
Mike Paschal says that Steve has to admit his love for Malifaux hats.
Absolutely not.
Yes, that's what's the New Year's resolution.
Yeah, there's no that
this
is not a New Year's
Halloween.
That
this
is not
is
a New Year's
Halloween.
Resolution. I already said I've already declared that top hats are cool. I just don't like the Malifaux top hats.
I don't think top hats are cool.
I think actual top hats, like real nice, like crisp top hats and a good suit, looks very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Like putting on the Ritz.
Are you going to put on a cloak, too? Are you going to be like George Costanza's dad's lawyer?
Yes. Yes. That's going to be me.
Frank Costanza's lawyer.
I'm going to be Larry David.
You're going to be Larry David. Brandon Myers says, try new casual games like the new Bakugan release. What's Bakugan?
Bakugan is a game that's like... do you know Beyblades with the tops?
Oh, yeah, Beyblades.
Okay. So it's Beyblades, except instead of tops, they're these little balls that you throw down and they pop open into like a little robot, like a Transformer.
Didn't they do that on an episode of The Simpsons like 5 or 6 years ago?
They might have been doing Bakugan. I don't fucking know.
I don't think they were doing it. I think this was, I don't know.
But yeah, and they have launchers. They have like little guns and you like shoot the Bakugan into the ring and it spins around and pops out into a little robot.
That sounds pretty cool, but
yeah, it's just
I'm not gonna lie. As a kid, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, it was like, well, it's like Spinges.
Spinges, all fucking Spinges.
Yeah, it's just like Spinges.
So what you got is you got the worst choking hazard ever, and we're gonna put it inside of a gun that you're gonna shoot.
It shoots it. You can shoot it in your friend's throat.
And they were cheap, and my parents refused to buy me Spinges.
I fucking loved Spinges, dude. The best part about Spinges is that they like, as far as like toy value, supreme. You had the one box and you open up the box and it came with the two guns and it came with two guys and the ring was in
the
package.
Yeah.
So it was part of the box. So you just there you go. You have a game. You have a game in addition to the figures. And then there were the packs that were just Spinges. Mm. And then there was one of the kids in my class had the giant Spinge Arena, which was, of course,
Spinge Arena.
Spinge Arena. And there would be multiple kids playing. Like, you'd get your spins, you'd be like, and see who would win the free-for-alls, of course.
Yeah.
My favorite, of course, was the Pharaoh, who looked like a Cobra dude. Mm. That was my ace. He was my ace.
He was your ace.
Yeah. He was my ace.
Spinger. Brandon Myers also says, to take the one color a mini a day challenge. I don't really need to do a painting challenge.
What's a one color a day?
I'm assuming that it's just to paint one color on a mini. At least it's just to be painting every day.
Oh.
I paint every day already, so I don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah, I gotta build a bunch of shit first. Yeah. And then we'll get the airbrush on.
Yeah. As you can see on my hand, I was painting today. So I paint every day, so I don't have to worry too much. And on a day that I'm not painting, it's because I'm so burnt out on painting that I'm just like, I need to take a break for today. I literally finished a unit of 30 long beards for my dwarf army that I don't need to paint, but I just was like, I need to paint something to fucking get me out of 40K for a minute. So I'm going to paint 30 fucking long beards, and that should get me ready.
Were their beards long?
They're long and white. They're like very Santa-ish.
Ho.
Anthony Carroll says, make an all squig AOS army.
Maybe later.
Maybe later. We'll see how the squigs play out. Play an L5R game with a legendary scorpion political deck.
No. that's going to be a big no for me.
Big no. Apparently that game is still terrible. And he also says Joe could print a giant wizard's tower, 3D print a giant wizard's tower. I already did that, so I put up the picture on the Facebook page. I'm like, no, I've already done that. It's really cool.
But could you paint a bigger wizard's tower?
Yeah. As Steve says, every time that I show him something I 3D printed, that's a giant dildo.
It is a giant dildo.
Timothy Linward says, number one, more butt stuff. We already talked about three assholes today.
And a giant dildo.
Number two, build a scorpion political deck. We already talked about that. No. Three, eat an...
Let's see, if L5R becomes a good game, we'll do it.
Number three, eat an English breakfast.
There's way too many carbs. Can't do it. Sorry.
For Steve, yeah, there's way too many carbs. And it's just like, for me, I just look at it, I'm just like, this is so greasy. I'm literally going to be shitting my asshole out after eating this.
I actually wouldn't mind eating it. I mean, minus the fact that I can't because of the carbs. But I wouldn't mind eating it minus the beans. I'm just really against the beans.
Aside from the beans, which are pretty high carbohydrate, what else is carbo?
They do toast. They have like the biscuit.
I don't think that's in a full English.
Oh, it is. There's the toast with the marmite on it or whatever. Check the full English. There's a lot of carbs in there. Plus the puddings, I think, have carbs.
Well, I'm sure that the pudding, the pudding is sausage. It's just like a, okay. Well, hold on. Let's see. Regional variants in the UK.
We'll go London.
Okay. A traditional full English breakfast includes bacon. Okay. Traditionally
I'll say keto yes no on each of these items. So we're good.
Yeah.
Keto yes.
Fried, poached, or scrambled eggs.
Keto yes.
Fried or grilled tomatoes. I don't think that's with keto because aren't those like too sugary?
Tomatoes are questionable. Well, that's a keto maybe. You can have tomatoes, but you got to watch it.
Okay. Fried mushrooms.
That's a keto, yes.
Fried bread, which is definitely
A keto no.
Yeah. Or buttered toast.
Also a keto
no. Well, it's fried bread or buttered toast.
It's both keto
no's.
Well,
I love fried bread. It's like, how stupid of a thing. It's like, we're just going to take bread, we're going to fry it in grease. I'm like, oh my God, this sounds
donuts.
Awful.
It's donuts.
Yeah, but a donut is sweet. There's sugar in it. This is just bread. Bread and fucking grease. Like, it's just like, I'm just going to lube up everything so that it just all just comes out in a solid stream of shit out my asshole.
I mean, we're all just tubes.
We're all just tubes. we're padded tubes.
Yeah, we're padded tubes.
Sausage, which bangers.
Sausage is usually keto friendly, depending on how it's made, because some have a surprisingly high amount of carbohydrates because they put fillers and stuff
filler in
it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black pudding.
I don't know what's in black pudding.
Black pudding is a blood sausage.
Maybe. Might be keto friendly.
No, it's not, because it has a lot of oatmeal in it.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, sausage is traditionally you just take like oats and you soak it in blood and then you stuff it into a sausage.
That's
casing.
Like definitely not keto friendly then. No. That's like super not keto friendly.
No, but it's actually really good. It's high in iron.
Okay, so
no
if you got some that's oats too.
Yeah.
Oats are high in iron, blood high in iron.
Yeah.
Hot iron.
Baked beans.
Definitely not keto friendly. No.
And bubble and squeak.
What the fuck is bubble and squeak?
Boiled potatoes and cabbage.
Both? Well, cabbage, keto-friendly. Potatoes, keto no.
Yeah. Made with the shallow fried leftover vegetables from a roast dinner. So that's what you do.
Those vegetables are maybes.
The vegetables are the cabbage. I see. So when you make a roast dinner, you take the leftovers, okay. You stick it together, and you make bubbled squeak.
Yeah, so I could have like part. So basically what I'm saying is my full English breakfast to be keto approved would be me eating some eggs and some bacon.
Yeah.
Which that's it.
I do that on a regular basis anyway.
That's all I can do.
Yeah. No, I would eat it. There's a place not too far from here that actually does a full English breakfast. Maybe I'll do a...
Like I said, for me, the biggest thing, like minus the keto thing, for me, the biggest thing for me is the beans. Like I just can't get over.
You
eating,
don't like beans, regardless,
right? I can't get over eating baked beans in general.
I love baked beans.
Let alone baked beans for fucking. Well, I've had some decent baked beans, but it's very few and far between because most of the time people make them so fucking sweet.
I love baked beans. I love all types of baked beans. I love beans.
I hate sweet
beans. My wife never makes beans because she does it. She has like a weird thing with them. Like she doesn't like the texture of beans. But I never get them, and I love them. I love kidney beans. I love black beans. I love all sorts of beans.
I mean, I like.
Love refried
I like a
beans.
Lot of kind of beans. I like refried beans.
But
the baked beans with that sauce is usually just like bleh.
Yeah, it's very sugary. They put a lot of maple in it.
I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Now I had some barbecue baked beans. The sauce was basically like a hearty, savory barbecue sauce. That was pretty good.
Okay. We got a lot more of these to go through, so let's get some business. Open the bidding for every shameful polystyrene crap heap terrain set at the Games Plus auction.
Be the first to bid.
What?
That's more of a dare than a New Year's resolution. And I will not take that dare because I'm not taking any of that stuff home.
I'm going to do that for every Games Plus auction at the spring auction, which is actually kind of early this year. I'm just going to be sitting there. I'm just going to go, $1.
You're going to bid on all the terrain?
Everything. Just everything. Just say be the opening bidder. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you don't even say anything. You just throw up your little flag.
No, I want to.
Because what if it's not a dollar?
I don't care. I'm just going to do it anyway and watch Rich yell at me all the time. Yeah. That's just what I'm going to do. Andy Meacham says, to carry on rambling unchanged by socio-political forces or petty demands for gaming content, more of the same, fuck change. Oh, we'll continue doing that because, you know, if the games producers stop making stuff, we're not going to... We're not going to report on it. So
how else are we going to keep it classy?
Yeah, how else are we going to keep it classy? Angel Baker says, paint minis, run games for my kids, set up gaming rooms. I think he thinks that's his New Year's resolution, but more power to you, Angel.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a chuffed up New Year's resolution.
Raza says, can you do a best of 2018 or a best of game classy of 2018? Nah, that's a lot of work.
I mean, a best of 2018, I would say the Star Trek Adventures role-playing game for me.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those games that's deceptively easy. You read like reading the rules is like a it's like a fucking like I read a lot of rule books. The Star Trek rule book is like brutal. It's like Jesus Christ. Like this game seems like it's fucking quantum physics. But when you actually play it and you see how all of these rules run, you're like, "Oh, I'm an idiot. They're actually really easy." It's just like the presentation's like verbose, I guess. But fantastic. It completely catches the spirit, the feeling, and the measure of the IP perfectly. And I would, if you are even a passerby fan of Star Trek and you'd be willing to do a role-playing game, you cannot go wrong with the Star Trek Adventures.
I'm going to go with best of for 2018. I'll go with the new... Middle Earth role playing game and Middle Earth miniatures game. Lord of the Rings miniatures game.
Yes, the relaunch.
The relaunch, I think it's a fantastic rule set. I think that they did everything right. I think that they're doing more of it correctly.
I'm going to give that my number two.
If I'm going to go with the worst of for 2018, I'm going to go with Star Wars Legion. I think that game is really poopy. I don't think it has a lot of legs to it. I think the game is overly complicated for something that should be very
simple.
Isn't
it already dead?
No, it's actually surprisingly doing well.
I only play Star Wars games.
I only play Star Wars games.
I think it's only doing well around here because a lot of people I talk to around the rest of the country say it's a hoo-hoo.
And I'm going to go with a close second is a game that was actually released this year, though crowdfunded last year, is the... Song of Ice and Fire miniatures game.
Ouch.
Got a chance to play it and, you know, really get a good look at the figures and everything like that. Whoever designed this game
never read the books, never saw the TV show, has no idea about anything with Game of Thrones. It is awfully designed, like, to the point where you're just like, no one would wear this. Part of, like, the appeal of Game of Thrones is, like, it's functional. Like, this is a real world where people wear real armor.
Yeah.
And, like, these are knights.
That's why, like, things like dragons are absolutely ridiculous in their world, because it's like, what the fuck are we supposed to do against that dragon?
Yeah.
I have a fucking sword.
Yeah, exactly. It's, like, it's very, very realistic. And you look at the miniatures game, and it's like, these guys are wearing, like normal, like, pike dudes are wearing this heavy plate and, like really massive shoulder pads and everything. I'm like, this is so fucking dumb. Like,
they look like RuneQuest.
Yeah, and it's a big
Rune Wars,
and it's a big like battle game, line battle game. Hey, Steve, can you tell me one major battle that occurred in any of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, the one that they don't show in the series, the one where Robb Stark won that huge battle.
And the Battle of Whispering Woods?
And they also don't even really describe it that much in the book.
It wasn't even actually a line battle. It was an ambush inside of woods.
But I know it was I believe it's the biggest battle in the
War of the Five Armies.
And it was a huge battle.
Yeah.
But it was also like... He won. He won.
Well, the only actual battle I can think of was,
because there's the siege, like they're like most of the most
battle of,
the,
of Blackwater Bay,
right?
Most was, of the ships coming off.
Yeah,
and it even,
like all of the big battles in Game of Thrones or the important ones, none of them are line battles. They're all like, there's like sieges because they have like when the Dothraki and the Unsullied are sieging the like palaces. Then there's the Battle of Blackwater, which is boats against a coastal defense.
The only one I can think of is the Battle of the Bastards, which is
that one's a legit art. That one's
legit. A legit line battle.
Yes,
where you have a skirmishing like the wildlings with the giants. They have giants though going up against the Boltons.
Yes.
God, that was such a great fucking episode.
Yeah, it was really fucking good.
It was so fucking... You finally watched season 7, didn't you?
The newest... Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. No,
As soon as it dropped... I'm on HBO on Amazon now.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't have to be subscribed to HBO. I can just buy the Amazon channel.
Oh, okay.
So I watched it as it was airing on...
I didn't know if you had watched that. That episode's fucking awesome.
That last season of Game of Thrones, holy shit. That was so fucking good. like I thought Game of Thrones is a show that I always felt was like a very high level of quality, and like overall is like I'm satisfied. But like that last season, fucking destroyed it. Like it knocked it out of the park. I was like, I was excited.
It hit everything
to
I
watch
wanted.
Each
it
episode.
Had massive battles, giants, incest. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Double incest.
Double. I mean, Game of Thrones has a lot of incest in it.
Well, usually it's intentional incest. Yes. This one's accidental.
Which makes it even more taboo.
Hey.
Damian Hansen asks, challenge each other to finally achieve the painting heights of museum standard. We already talked about that.
Yeah, we already said that. That's not achievable.
Sorry.
You can't do it.
So we have gone through the entire list of...
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. It's a long list, though. We have like 20-some things on there. So yeah, we have that's our requested New Year's resolutions. Do you have any of your own personal ones that you weren't on there?
My personal New Year's resolutions are 1, paint all the models.
Yes.
And 2, finish losing my weight.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm just gonna keep up on the exercise. I don't have like a New Year's resolution in terms of like specific amount of. I want to look good in a bikini.
It's not really a resolution as much as a goal. Like that's like going by all of my like tracking and stuff, I should be able to achieve my goal weight this year.
So I have my hobby goals this year are I have to finish an old hammer army. So I'm close to that one. I'm going to finish off my
like
dwarf
legit
army.
Third ed.
Sixth ed.
Okay.
So like
because when you say old hammer, I think of like the dudes who just play
three
third.
AOS. Okay.
Cool.
So that's going to be my dwarf army. It's close to being done, but I need to finish. That's the one thing I need to finish off this year. I need to finish my Sons of Horus. That's a lot more. So that's going to take a longer part of the year to do. I have to finish my Sigmarines. All the new stuff that I got, all the celestial, the sacrosanct chamber that I have to do. That's on my list of things to do. I'm going to print out
on my 3D printer all of the printable scenery dwarf terrain. Ooh. And paint that up so that I can do a dwarf table. Ooh. For my 6 edition dwarves. Ooh. So it's a whole thing. I like a holistic approach to the gaming.
so you can have a table that's themed that no one will ever play against.
And
you
that's
on?
Yes. Well, that's the last part of that is that I'm going to finish my fold out 6x4 gaming table. That's going to be completely made out of wood. That's going to fold and be expertly put together and stained and put together so I do not have to worry about it. It's going to be gorgeous.
But will it ever be used?
Maybe. I don't know.
used outside of the capacity of storing miniatures on it.
Used outside the capacity of my kids putting Legos on. How about that?
Yeah.
Because that's what we... I'm redoing my basement again. And we're getting rid of all of the couches that we have down there. I finally got rid of my giant table down there, so I got rid of that. I have just couches down there now. I'm gonna get rid of the couches, and all I want down there is 2 black leather chairs that I could sit, that me and my wife can sit in, and we could watch a movie on my projector. Because right now we have the couch, which is fine, but I just want the 2 chairs. That's all I want. So we don't even touch each other. We can just have our own separate spaces that lounge back, and we could watch a movie on there. So it'll give me plenty of room to actually put a fold-out gaming table down there. Nice. For storage. But yes, I have to build that as well.
Now, if I'm going to compartmentalize it like that, my first objective would be getting all of my Nurgle stuff painted by May, because I have a tournament in May in Milwaukee, I think.
Milwaukee? It's Algonquin. Yeah. For the
I don't remember. I signed up for it like when they did like 2 months ago, because like they were like, oh, the tournament's gonna be this time, and it was like a fucking super long time away, but I was like, sure, I'll sign up for it. And it turns out it was a smart thing I did, because it sold out the fucking next day.
Nice.
These AOS tournaments, like if you're not on them like right away, you don't get a spot. They fucking fill up fast.
I'm interested to see Adepticon this year, because this is gonna, so GW is gonna be have like a bigger presence this year. It'll be interesting to like walk by Warhammer Twitch and just like scream out obscenities as people are playing. Like, fuck shit.
Just scream out, no, just scream out one thick coat.
One thick coat.
Yeah, just scream out one thick coat.
Fuck shit.
Watch Duncan just like explode.
I wonder if he'll be there.
I assume. He's kind of there. If Warhammer TV is going to be there, he'll be there.
No, because Warhammer TV was at the one in DC, and I don't think any of those guys were there.
Then how was it Warhammer TV?
They always get local people to do the streams.
Oh. All right.
Which they never get us. They won't get us. They'll get like some whatever Chicago like fucking podcast.
I don't think there's an AOS podcast around here.
I know, but they'll get like some Warhammer guys to do it.
Well, I mean, it's going to be Adepticons. They can get them from anywhere.
Yeah, it's not.
They'll probably do that. Bilbo. I was gonna say Bill or Bob. I can't remember his fucking name. He's the dude who does like he does like the big AOS podcast in the UK.
Oh.
He's always at Adepticon.
Well, they should get us to do it.
It'll probably just be him.
We should start a fan campaign to get us to do the live stream of the AOS.
Look, the 30 people who listen to our podcast are not going to be able to get that movie. This guy's got like 40 people, okay? There's no way we're going to be able to
match
that.
I was
going to
say we could do it, and that way we could, like, I think it would be great for me to go, like, Steve, what's he doing? How do you play this game?
be like, no, see, look, he's nudging that model. Look, see, he's nudging it. And I'll just keep saying, like, pointing out, like micro cheats. I'll be
micro
like,
cheats?
He's nudging it. Oh, yeah, micro cheating. It's a thing.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah. All right, everybody. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your planet. Wait, we don't use Planet Arbitrary anymore.
We don't?
No, Planet Arbitrary is pretty much dead.
Rest in peace.
Rest of RIP, Planet Arbitrary. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I'm Commandthrow.
Like our Facebook page. That's the best
way. My Twitter is not safe for work, and it's great.
A lot of anime.
Asses.
A lot of anime, which is now which is the new thing to identify the alt-right anime.
Oh, that's not new.
Oh, well, yeah. You can like our Facebook
page.
They've
infiltrated everything, Joe.
/ Game Classy Podcast. That's the best way you could get in contact with us. You could also like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. It's the best way to help out the podcast. You can like, comment, and subscribe on the YouTube page. But we are not featured on YouTube Rewind. So
that's fucking bullshit.
That's bullshit. let's see, where am I at? You can listen to our sister podcast, which is the Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about video games. What are you guys playing now?
Right now, I'm playing Graveyard Keeper.
You're still playing Graveyard. You're playing
Graveyard Keeper. Soul Calibur 6 has been pretty fun.
What's Pat been playing?
Probably his Street Fighter 1-Up arcade cabinet.
He's very excited about that 1-Up arcade cabinet.
He's over the moon about it.
I know.
I just say it's a shitty cabinet because it has fucking three versions of Street Fighter on it.
Yeah.
It really irritated me. Like, I was like, that was really, I was like,
You want a multi-cabinet.
If I'm getting one of those things.
You want it to have a lot of games on there.
Right. Yeah. Not three fucking versions of Street Fighter. but they're not even, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. There are three versions of Street Fighter 2. If it was Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 3, and Street Fighter Alpha, or something along those lines, okay. There are plenty of differences in the games to make that reasonable. But it's just Street Fighter 2.
It's Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, yeah. And then Street Fighter 2...
Hyper Fighting.
So,
yeah. It's really annoying.
Well, that's Pat, though. I mean, like, if you're going to talk with Pat about anything, it's going to be Street Fighter.
Yeah. Well, he wants to get three machines, so it's a bit more reasonable if you're going to have more than one.
Yeah.
I'm only going to... If I get one, I'll have exactly one, and I'm going to get the one with Gauntlet on it.
Gauntlet yeah. Legends or just Gauntlet?
It's just Gauntlet.
Okay.
That wasn't needed food, actually. Red Valkyrie.
Wait, how does the...
Use the magic to dispel death.
How does the Gauntlet theme go? That's right. I couldn't think of that for a second.
That was the Gauntlet song.
That's pretty good. That was I think pitch perfect on that
Gauntlet.
One. You could also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, which is an adult's take on children's cartoons. So, Steve, until next time.
While we're on the subject of the anime, right? One of the jewel moment happened not too long ago, where a shitter anime right winger discovered that there were in fact anti-fascists in Japan, and his worldview was destroyed.
Oh.
Game classy.